Well, I enjoy teaching on this particular subject, but I think it's good to not only just meditate and talk about faith and look at the scriptures, but it's good to remind ourselves, it's fine to say I have faith and I have faith in this particular scripture, but I wanted to look at this, and I like this particular scripture in Mark 11:22, and of course we're familiar with verses 23 and 24. But this account here, we can see starting in this story here with Peter calling to remembrance to the master of that which he had cursed the day before. And he said, "Look, master, that which thou cursed is withered away." And what did Jesus say? Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God." Now we know that the margin said, "Have the faith of God," and that's true. In the context of verse 23 and 24. But I like this here just in the sense of have faith in God. Not faith in myself, not faith in my faith, not even faith, and don't take it the wrong way as the way I'm saying this. Jesus here did not say, have faith in the words that I'm speaking. He didn't say, he said, have faith in God, who was the author of what I'm speaking. So it's not that we don't have faith in the Bible, but he didn't say have faith in that. He said have faith in God. And yet we do have faith in the Bible. And we do have faith in what he has said. But he didn't say to have faith in that. He said have faith in God. Right? So don't take it out of context of what I'm saying. But I like this, we're to have faith in God. I want to add a little more to what we were sharing on Sunday. And when we talk about faith, you know, of course, in verse 23 and 24, when we talk about faith, you have to talk about saying. Because when it says, whosoever shall, verse 23, say, well, he's talking about faith, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. When you talk about faith, you do have to talk about saying, because they're connected. You don't get saved by believing. You get saved by believing and confessing with your mouth. Jesus was raised from the dead. So it's important when we talk about faith, we talk about believing, we have to talk about saying, because they're connected. And so, let's, as we start this lesson, let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy 1, and let's look at verse 12. You know, through the years, and of course I'm sure you're in some ways like me, the more you see, and that seeing comes through a desire, you desire to see more, you desire to know more. And God answers that prayer, and you see, how many have had an aha moment? You know, we've had an aha moment sitting in a service, listening to something. We've had an aha moment just, as they say, minding our own business. We've had an aha moment reading the Bible. And so we've seen some things into the scripture. And how many, I have, I don't know about you, but how many have said, boy, I thought I was walking in faith. And then I see something and I go, No, I wasn't. I thought I was, you know. And, you know, I think growing in faith is a lot somewhat like growing naturally in some ways, that when we grow naturally, we think we know it all when we're teenagers, and then we get a little older and we go, boy, was I dumb. You know, boy, was I dumb. I thought I really knew everything, right? And then, you know, even lately, you know, sometimes I look back and I go, you know, sometimes I think about some things my parents said and did, and I go, why are they doing that? And I remember one time my sister said to me, you know, she was like, why did my parents do that? And then she said, I had kids. And she said, yep, I understand. And so sometimes, you know, even growing up here, you know, I look back, and I know Pastor Greg and I have laughed about this. We go, why did the pastors do that? And then you get in this spot and you go, uh-huh. Okay, I understand. And so there's some things that we don't understand until we walk in the you know, in that experience. So we think we know, right? Until we walk in it, and then we find out. And so I think there's some things that we just don't know about faith until we walk through some experiences in life. And we've had to really exercise and live this thing that we talk, and then we've had some experiences and some pressure, and then we start walking through and we go, I didn't know nothing about it, or I knew very little, and now I believe. And so I think this is where, you know, and what I call, in whether you're in peacetime or you're walking through something, you know, we need to constantly feed on and meditate on the Word of God and exercise it. Otherwise, we deceive ourselves. And verse 12 in 2 Timothy, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know, I like this, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded. Boy, that's a strong statement by Paul, by the unction of the Holy Ghost. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul didn't say, I know what I have believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. And he's not talking here about something he thinks. He didn't say, I think, or I'm pretty sure, I know. He said, I'm persuaded. So let's go forward here a little bit. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. I want to focus this evening a little bit on this word confidence. And just looking up in the dictionary, this word confidence, of course, there's many uses of that word in the King James, but just boils down to trust. And even the dictionary says the quality or state of being certain. When you're certain, you know. And when you know, you're not moved by what you feel or what you see. And there's some things that I've walked through that I've been certain, even though there's been contradictory kind of things. I'm thinking, I have so many things that I've experienced that in some things that were negative, that I heard the Holy Ghost say something to me that caused me in my heart to be certain, absolutely certain. But yet, your flesh and your thoughts and things can be, I say, squirrely. Doesn't mean you're squirrely, But your thoughts can be squirrely. You know, you're not going to make it. This is not looking good. You're going down. This is, you know, you never get this, all of that. But yet your heart heard something from the Holy Ghost, which caused you to be what? Persuaded. I'm persuaded of this. And that persuasion caused you to act in a certain way. Not act in fear, act in faith. Not to draw back, to be persuaded. Full assurance. And so anyways, Hebrews chapter 3 says, but Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we? Isn't that great? If we hold fast, but there's a condition here, isn't it? So this if is conditional. He said, whose house are we if we hold fast the what? The confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. The New Living Translation says, but Christ as a son is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. The Living Bible says, but Christ, God's faithful Son, is in complete charge of God's house, and we Christians are God's house. He lives in us. If we keep up our courage firm to the end and our joy and our trust in the Lord. Glory to God. Now look at verse 16 in the next chapter. Chapter 4. We were talking about this on Sunday. It says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So he tells us right here how we're supposed to come. How are we supposed to come? Boldly. Another word you could use there is confidently. So if I come boldly, if I come confidently, how would that be? In faith. So he's telling us how to come. That doesn't mean I'm cocky. That means I'm coming boldly with assurance that he's given me access. He's telling me to come. And I believe there's a scripture. I'm trying to think here. Let me go over here and look. I have this. I wrote it down here first. Yeah. Ephesians 3:12, you can write it down. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. How? By faith in him. So he's already telling us we have access through or in him into his very presence. And so he's saying, come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. This word boldly or confidently or confidence means to speak openly. It means to speak plainly. It means without reservation, without hesitation, or you could say there's no wavering. There's no indefiniteness. In other words, you're not indefinite. You're sure. You're confident of what it is that he's promised, and I'm asking for help. I'm asking for his assistance, for his mercy and his help in the time of need. So if you have a person, that means confident in what? God, not in themselves. They're confident that God is going to hear them and answer their prayer. Amen. Why? Because he said so. And this is the confidence that we have, what? In him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So when I ask, See, and this is the thing that we see, maybe you don't see it as often, but we do, that, and I shared this Sunday, how many have heard this, or maybe you've said it, I've done it maybe once or twice in my life, just believe with me for a good report. Well, let me ask a question. If you're confident, why do you need a good report? What if it's not a good report? Where's your confidence? Or how many bad reports till you give up? Until you let in? See, and if God has promised something, then it doesn't matter whether I have a good report or a bad report. He hears me, and he answers my prayer. And so I'm confident. Whether I see a change or I don't, I'm expecting a change, but I'm not moved by what? What I see. So I'm confident that he heard me, he gave me access. He said, here, come boldly unto the throne of grace that what? We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. So he's telling us how to come to the throne in confidence. So the question is, am I confident? Here's a scripture to meditate on. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith," or through confidence. You're saved through your confidence, your assurance. So are you sure you're saved? Are you sure? Are you confident? Can't be rattled from that, right? You're absolutely sure. So you're not trying to believe that you're saved. You believe, right? You're confident. Well, then look at other areas in your life. Are you confident where your health is concerned? Are you confident? Are you absolutely convinced where your prosperity is concerned? You know, years ago, I've told this, I think it applies here. Years ago, I was home, and I decided to just start to laugh at some symptoms in my body. I don't know why. I really don't. I'd never done it before. And I just started to laugh. I had a very high fever, and I didn't feel good. I stayed home for the day. I was working here, and, you know, you just felt like 10 miles of bad road. So I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to start laughing. And I started. And it began to just stir some more laughter and more laughter and more laughter. So I laughed kind of like, ha, ha, ha. That's about the best I could do. I wasn't feeling good. And I did that for about 10, 15 minutes. And then after a little more time, I felt a little stirring down here. Because I did it in faith. And so what happened was that little stirring, I went, ah. And I started to laugh a little harder. And I did that for a while. And then a little stronger, till the point where I was in a full holler. And I did that for a while. And the presence of God came in there so strong in my room. Whew, was it strong. And then all of a sudden, I got quiet. And he started to talk to me. Not about my physical condition, but my finances. Oh, God knows what you're thinking. Oh, boy, does he ever. And this is what he said, just as quick. He said, if you would work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And he knew me, because I wasn't working the word in the area of finances like I was in the area of healing. I worked it and 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 worked it. But I wasn't doing that. As Dr. Hutton would say, I was a dropper. Take my offering, drop it in the bucket, and didn't apply faith. What do I mean by that? Looking and expecting that that seed was going to produce a harvest. And I didn't look for it, because when you're in faith, when you're in confidence, your words release faith. Well, my words were releasing some other things. I don't see it working. I'm sowing seed. I don't see the harvest. That's what I was saying. In my mind, in my heart. And he knew it. And so what did he do? He spoke to me so that I could make this adjustment to turn things around in my life. And I'd like to say it changed overnight, but it took some years to start changing my words and changing the direction of the ship. And so what ended up happening was I started saying all the time, all the time, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that everything I touch, my bank accounts are full. I'm prosperous. I'm rich. Used to say it. I have two nickels to rub together. And so the bottom line was that God began to turn it around. And so this is the thing. That there's nothing, if we begin to apply faith, that's why when Leanne Sozeby came and she started talking about how God started showing up, and she'd talk about how God would manifest himself through Brother Hagin, and she was mad. How come God's doing it for him and he ain't doing it for me? I don't see you, God. I don't know you. I don't see you like him, blah, 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 blah. And he said, what are you calling me, a liar? And then he began to just gently say to her, how did you get saved? You began to believe and say, and believe and say. And she saw it. She said, I didn't see anything. I began to go home and say, Holy Spirit, I know you. I know you better than this ground I'm standing on. You're more intimate to me than my family. I love you, Holy Spirit. You're in me. And began to do that. And she said, and did that for a period of 2 weeks. And she's sitting in the meeting and saw the glory cloud roll in the back of the room. By faith. And so there isn't one thing in our life that we can't change by applying the same principle of faith. What does it say? It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, through confidence, through assurance. Assurance of what? Assurance of and confidence in him. In him to do what? Change some things in your life. To fulfill and to do that which he has said in his word. I'm expecting bigger and greater things. You know, when God, you know, for me, the assignment that I feel right now, and sometimes, I don't want to call it the assignment at this point is, where this church is concerned, is that God has spoken some things where this church is concerned. And I'm not moved by what I see. And so in the natural, you could probably have Sunday service in here. You don't need to have it in the main room. But God said, the people I'm sending here won't fit in here. Well, you know, it's no different than Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And God said, build an ark. Why? Well, that ark, in the end, saved him and his family. And so we need to take the same, I take the same position. I don't care what it looks like. If God said it, then it will come to pass if I mix faith and patience. Because the scripture says, and I'll remind you, Hebrews 10:35, but Hebrews 6:12, it says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So you need both. You can't just have faith. You have to have faith and patience to inherit. So when we're walking through some things and God says, believe me for this, you release your faith and then you need some patience to inherit it. Because it's going to take, it may take some time to work out all the details. And it's, what does it say? It says, don't be weary in your well-doing, for in what? Overnight. No, it says due season, you shall reap if you do what? You faint not. So for me, it's walk in faith, release your words, keep the switch, keep that faith turned on. What do I mean by that? Keep your words of faith active. Don't faint. Don't give up. Set your sights on things that God has told you, and don't, you know, sometimes when God had spoken to you about something when you were younger and you go, well, maybe it was something I dreamed of. Maybe it was me. Maybe. I want to say, shut up. Just be quiet. Don't meditate on it. Because I'm learning, you know, some things we say we know, but we realize that when things start to come to pass, where things, you know, when God showed me and spoke to me as a young man about some things I would be doing in the ministry, 5 years went by, 10 years went by, 15 years went by, 20 years went by. And after 20 years, you start to say, well, maybe I know it was God. I know it was him. I know he spoke to me. I'm convinced of that. That wasn't something I dreamed of. I heard him. Maybe I put a spin to it. Maybe it wasn't exactly what he meant. No, he meant exactly what he said. And it just wasn't due season yet. And so we need to just keep our words. You know, I like what Brother Hagin said. You know, he talks about in the context of a church service and a Bible lesson, he said, study, teach, but then leave space for the Holy Spirit to move and to do some things. And, you know, that's the same thing in life. I've learned that, yes, God will show you some things in the scripture, grab a hold of it, but leave space open for the Holy Ghost to guide you and to lead you. And be man or woman enough to say, you know what, maybe I did miss it over here. I'll adjust instead of digging your feet in. And like, I'm so sure. Be open for the Holy Ghost to lead you, right? So Hebrews, we're back on, let me get back on track here. Hebrews 4. In the Moffat's translation, Hebrews 4:16, it says, so let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. So the key here is this word confidence. And let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. I want to look at this here for a moment. And let's look at verse 16. It says, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I love this, I will put my laws, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where the remission of sin, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance of faith. That's what faith is. There's full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now look at verse 35 in that same chapter. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your assurance, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. So don't cast it away. Think about Hebrews 11:6. He says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. That's just what we saw here, recompense of reward. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So you can see here, this is why we can come to come boldly to the throne of grace. We can come, why? Because when you look at verse 19 in that chapter, it says, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by what? The blood of Jesus. That's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So you can see here, even in these verses 16 through 22, you can see the spirit of faith here. There's boldness, there's confidence, there's assurance. And you can see this here. Why? Because he doesn't remember my sins. They've been washed away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I touched on this here. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. But let's look at verse 22 for a second. Just want to make a point here. Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith. Let us what? Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We'll look at what verse was it here? Verse 39. If you look at verse 39, it says, but we are not, well, let me back up. Look at verse 38. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. But if any man does what? Draws back. So you can see here between verse 22, verse 38, those that are in faith, they do what? They draw near. Those that are not, because he said here in 38, now the just shall do what? Live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So you can see here, faith draws near or it advances. Faith draws near. What does fear do? It draws back. It pulls back. And God's not pleased with that. And you can see from 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and a sound mind. The NIV says that he's not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and self-discipline. So, one of the things that I have seen here, now, here's another scripture, Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So my confidence is not in me or my ability, my own thinking, my own understanding. My confidence is in Him. 1 John 3:21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So as long as your heart is clear, then there should be confidence towards God. Amen. It says we have, not we might have, we have. So this word confidence, or we could say faith or assurance, how does that come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more we feed on the Word of God, confidence and assurance comes. It's supernatural. That supernatural confidence comes into my heart. It's tangible. How many have had a tangible, knowing confidence? This wasn't something that, you know, I worked up and, oh, yeah, I can do this and da da. No, that's being confident in your flesh. But when there's a supernatural, God-inspired confidence, you know. You are absolutely convinced. What does it say? Fully assured. Well, when we're fully insured, not insured, assured. Yeah, I'm insured. But fully assured, the next action should be, I'm stepping out. Why? Because I'm fully assured. Look at Peter. When Jesus said, come, he had to have been fully convinced and assured, I'm walking on this. I'm convinced. Jesus just said, come. That word had to have hit him and caused assurance and confidence in him. I can walk on this water. Because if you weren't, why would you get out of a boat and step your feet in a stormy sea? Why would you even do that? You'd be nuts. No, we laugh, but you get out of a boat when it's stormy. I'm not getting out of a boat unless there's confidence. And that's not something natural. That's supernatural. And what happened? When he began to look at the waves, he lost his confidence. Not his, but he lost the confidence that came into him. And that's no different today. And this, I really believe, this is me. I've experienced some things supernaturally. And I'm convinced that the more we meditate on this, faith is supernatural, and your level of what I call confidence how do I want to say this? Faith groweth, because the scripture talks about it. You have little faith, you have great faith, and you have no faith. Well, let's look at this. When Jesus said, "Great is thy faith," he was really saying, "Great is your confidence." And when somebody has little faith, that means little confidence. So when we start to meditate on these things, every one of us can reflect. I like what Brother Hagin said, you know, when you look at something, and he said, "What can you believe? Where is your confidence?" That's a barometer where your faith is. Because if your confidence is little, so is your faith. If your confidence is great, if you say, "I can do this," and you know it, your faith is great. And so that means it needs to be fed more of the Word of God so that this confidence, this supernatural faith, is ignited in my spirit. Amen. We've all lived it, and I'm sure if we had testimony after testimony. See, Brother Hagin said this, you know, people used to mock him. When you look at the scripture, look at verse 23, it says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart." That doesn't sound like confidence to me, does it? That's somebody who's doubting. That's not confidence, that's not assurance. "Whosoever shall doubt in their heart shall not doubt in their heart, but believe that the things that they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatever they say. And I remember Brother Hagin talking about this one time. He said some man was mocking him about faith and mocking him about saying. And he started to say, I'll just believe for 10 million oil wells. And he said, "It won't work for you because you don't believe it anyways." So his point was that you can have whatsoever you sayeth if you doubt not. But that doubt will be pushed out of where? Your heart and your mind, when the supernatural faith comes in. It pushes the doubt out. It pushes the fear out. And so when faith comes in, there is an absolute assurance that I have this answer. And so we stand in faith. And when you do, you need what? Patience. Amen. Glory to God. This year, we're going to believe for things and hold steady. If you've let something go, pick it back up again. Just say, "God, you know what? You meant what you said. Sorry about that." Pick it back up and hold tightly. God's looking, what pleases God? What pleases him is faith. I believe God's looking throughout this earth for anyone that will just reach out for him. He'll use people. God's going to get his program done, whether you believe or not. But he's going to look for people who will yield to him so that he can get done what he wants to get done. And the rest of us will just sit by the sideline wondering what's going on. And God's looking for people who will do what? Reach out to him in faith and believe. Amen. Praise God. Whatever it is. I mean, I just get up in the morning. I believe for, I mean, if it's a parking space, I'm believing for it. I'm believing for something to be led into the goodness of God, into the blessings of God, and that, and you're exercising your faith. Amen. Glory to God.